our subject for the next, well, last week and then this next week was monkey business and lessons from three wise monkeys that I think teach us something from Scripture or remind us of something that Scripture does teach us. And these are just little memory markers, things that we can use to easily remember the truths that we are going to speak of today. And so I want you to turn, if you will, in your Bibles. We will be in Matthew chapter 5, verse 27, is where we will spend our time today. If you have a Bible, we would love for you to turn there. If you don't, of course, it will be on the screen behind you. If you do not have a Bible of your own, we would love for you to take one of the the orange and brown Bibles in the seats beneath you. Write your name in it. Consider that a gift from us to you. If you have a Bible of your own, but you know somebody that needs a Bible, take one. Take it home. Write their name in it. And write it as it was from you. We don't need any credit whatsoever. We are happy for you to take and have a Bible to give away. And so that is part of the blessing that we hope people are taking. We have had many Bibles leave and not as many come back. So we would love for you to take advantage of those. I will say this, if you are watching online, and for those of us that are here physically present in the church, today's message, parents, I'd like to just simply issue a word of warning, a word of caution. Today's topic, while not overtly graphic, is of a subject that is of a sensitive nature. And so we always give the opportunity, should parents need or want to turn their children's attention elsewhere, we want to give you that opportunity. That being said, we will go ahead and jump on in to our topic today. Last week, we talked about Hear No Evil, our little monkey friend who had his ears covered. And ultimately, the message out of there was that you are loved. I hope that you know that. I hope that you know that you are loved by the Creator. He loved you so much that He sent His Son to die for you. And He loves you unconditionally. Now we move on to our other little monkey friend, as you can see up there. One's covering his ears, the second one is covering his eyes. So this week is See No Evil. Our little see no evil friend. Now it is a $57 billion a year industry around the world. The United States enjoying the lion's share of that. A whopping $12 billion. B with a billion with a B. Anybody want to take a guess at what we're talking about? The industry of pornography. $12 billion a year. It's the average of, that is an average of $55 per person in the U.S. As a matter of fact, if you didn't know, U.S. porn revenue now exceeds a combined revenues of ABC, CBS, and NBC. $6.2 billion. They almost double it. It's bigger than the NFL, the NBA, and the MLB combined. To give you a little bit of perspective, Microsoft, who sells about half of all of the operating systems on all computers anywhere, only rakes in about half of that amount a year. They have 4.2 million websites, 372 million web pages. It's 12% of the entire internet. Has to do with some kind of pornographic website. A quarter of all websites prevented users from exiting the site simply. You know me, I'm kind of a computer nerd. And this happens on websites that are not inappropriate too. It's called mouse trapping. What they do is they get you to click on something. You go to the site, and you ever try to get off of one of them? You move your mouse up to the corner to exit out, and it pops up and goes, wait, before you leave, sign up for my newsletter. Or you go to click out of something only to pop up something else. They call that mouse trapping. You're stuck. It's not something you can quickly just go and you're out. Now, these statistics that I'm sharing with you are a little bit dated, unfortunately, as it is becoming more commonplace, they are not updating them as frequently. But in the year 2000, there were 88,000 pornographic sites. Today, there's 4.2 million. Now, that today was 7 years ago. It says, over that window, just that seven-year window, that is a growth rate of 47,000% in just a seven-year window. Last year, Hollywood produced 400 movies. The porn industry put out 11,000 titles in 1 year. GM, when they first started, GM was one of the companies that created DirecTV, the satellite company. According to distributors, GM sold more graphic sex films through its DirecTV outlet than a pornographic magazine did in the whole year. The U.S. is by far the world's leading producer of porn, churning out hardcore videos at an astonishing rate of about 150 new titles a week. Did you know that there are more adult bookstores in the U.S. than there are McDonald's's? Seems like there's a McDonald's on every corner. But because of the nature of that industry, most of them are, I hate to use this term, mom and pop. They're privately owned, small adult shops. There are more of them than there are McDonald's's in the U.S. And unfortunately, the church has not been exempt from this curse. Christians are getting caught up in the deadly attraction of porn. If you know who George Barna is, if you've been around church statistics much, I enjoy them a little bit. I have to take them with a grain of salt because they kind of get me depressed sometimes, because all of them seem to be negative. Very rarely does Barna put out a stat that's like, hey, there's a billion good people in the world now. You know, it's always how many bad people there are. Barna says that 28% of born-again Christians feel it is acceptable to view pornographic material. As many as 1 in 4 pastors struggle with or addicted to porn. Josh McDowell, who was a youth communicator, still is, but he's basically retired now, states that virtually every teen boy has looked at pornography. And every month there are about 50 million first-time visitors to adult websites. 50 million first-time. That's pretty rough. Now, this isn't just a guy problem, although it is primarily one. About the breakdown of male to female visitors to porn sites, as of these stats, we're 72% male, 28% female. That has changed. I happen to know this one. This particular stat is now more at the 60-40, unfortunately. About 60% of males, about 40% of females, as far as a ratio. It is almost as many. But despite it being just a guy or predominantly a guy problem, it's really the girls who end up paying the price. Shattered trust, broken homes, deadly comparisons, even being hurt by husbands or fathers who fell into the trap and fall into the fantasy world that these things provide. The other side of it, though, that we don't remember or talk about too much as far as victims of this issue is the actors and actresses that are involved in them. These people often get sick. They self-medicate their shame away through drugs and alcohol. We're going to talk about in a little bit, sex has become nothing more than something that they've been completely desensitized to. It's no more what it is or what it used to be or what God intended it to be for their life. There's a saying that the eyes are a window to the soul. There's even a Bible verse talking about the eyes bearing truth. See, we all know that there's a battle for our soul, right? We understand that we are constantly in a spiritual battle for our lives. What we don't often remember or think about is that very often that battle is won and lost through our eyeballs. Why? Because our eyes have a connection to our heart. It is very much like spiritual warfare. Things that were once back alley, books that you had to go into certain stores to buy, gave way to movies and magazines and color pictures, and then came cable television and its influences. But then came the internet. And all this stuff became free and easily accessible, instantly downloadable. They took a poll at one of the Promise Keepers before they kind of stopped doing their regular meetings. Promise Keepers, these are predominantly men who are already believers. They took a poll and asked how many men had looked at pornography that week, the week of the event. 53%. Admitted that they had looked at pornography that week. Those are men who were preparing mentally to go to this big event. If you've ever been to something like that, whether it's Women of Faith or Promise Keepers or any of the big men's conference or women's conferences, you know there's mental preparation that goes into it. You're expecting God to do something. And in that week, they supplied these thoughts and fantasies to supersede that mental spiritual preparedness. Now, before you think I'm going to the gloom and doom and this is going to be one of those, there's good news that goes along with this. That is, as great as the problem is in our society, our God is greater still, right? As huge as the addictive power of pornography is, God's power to deliver is still greater. As debilitating as the shame, the guilt, and the fear associated with pornography is, the power of God's forgiveness, cleansing, and love is greater still. So, I ask you to turn in your Bibles. So if you would, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. While you're opening there, while you're still finishing up, this is part of what we call the Sermon on the Mount. We covered this early in the life of our church here. But just as a reminder, the disciples are at Jesus' feet. The crowd is gathered around them. And Jesus is teaching. Pick up with me at verse 27. You have heard it said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you, everyone who looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away, for it is better that you lose one of your parts of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away, for it is better that you lose one part of the parts of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. Jesus starts off this passage, this teaching piece. He says, you've heard it said. This is a technical thing. It's a technical phrase. And it means you have knowledge on what I'm about to tell you, but I'm going to give you some wisdom and some understanding to go along with it. I'm going to give you the other half of it. Knowledge is good, but by itself is dangerous. Why? Because knowledge all by itself is all about me. It'll puff me up. I'll think I'm something because I'm smart. Because I have the knowledge that, to do whatever it is. But see, knowledge by itself means I'm no longer teachable in that issue. And so Jesus here adds wisdom and understanding to the knowledge that the people already have. And so if we were to kind of break this down in a literal fashion, this is what Jesus is saying. He says, I say to you that everyone who looks repeatedly or consistently, the Greek word that is there means to look with ongoing looking, at a woman with lust, here's what lust really means, with passion rising up until it boils. So if you keep on looking with an ongoing looking at a woman with lust, to that person he has already committed adultery in his heart. Now, let's put this in some modern perspective. Some regular everyday life stuff. Guys, ladies, we're walking down the strip at the mall. We've had a wonderful day of shopping. We've taken care of all of our responsibilities. We're just about to walk out and head home. The day's been good. And then she walks by. Or then he walks by. Muscles out to here. Dark hair. Tanned like a Greek god. He's symmetrical. Because they tell us in psychology that attraction is really just the symmetry of a face. Or if somebody is symmetrical, that one side is even to the other, that is attraction. She's got long blonde hair. Her clothes are fitting in a not so great situation. Her hourglass figure is pristine. The first thought, the first look isn't an issue. The glance isn't the issue. The noticing isn't an issue. Those things are going to happen. We live in a lost and dying world. Young men, young ladies are going to wear clothes that are suggestive. They're going to wear things that are not appropriate. They're going to look and do and act in ways that are not the way that a believer should act or walk or dress. But it's what happens next that becomes the issue, because we have a choice. We're either going to shut down the temptation to look again, or we're going to feed it, and we're going to look with ongoing looking, what our passage just talked about. We're going to look with that second look. We're going to look again, and that's going to begin to spur thoughts, and the whole path goes down from there. And so some things I want us to kind of hit real quick, and I want us to understand about this issue. Now, please understand, this is not a topic that I preach or share lightly. You know I make a very diligent effort to bring you God's word to the best of my ability. And unfortunately, as I told you last week, young people, I believe that God answers in his word every question that you can ever imagine, either directly or indirectly. I think you can find the answer in God's word. This is one of those moments where we get a nice, clean answer. And so I want to talk to you about this issue of lust, this issue of pornography. So first of all, I want you to understand the nature of pornography. Now stay with me if you will, because I think there's some important things here to know. What is pornography? Pornography is a mind, imagination, fantasy game played primarily in the secrecy of our minds. We realize that there's images and photographs and videos, but all of that leads to sin that is in here. It leads to mental lusting after the opposite sex, a practice which is condemned by Jesus in our passage. But see, here's the issue. The real issue of pornography is lust. I think there's an illustration that we can use to kind of put a picture to what this really is. One said that lust is a man in the middle of the desert, dying of thirst, parched, dry mouth, on the verge of death, and begging for salt. You get the connection? Salt is the opposite of what you want when you're dying of thirst. Water is what you want. Water is what is going to be life-sustaining. Salt is going to dry you out even more. It's an inordinate desire for something that may be legitimate or right in context. But see, lust is illegitimate. Because unlike love, which sacrifices to meet another person's needs, lust sacrifices to satisfy its own greed. It is indeed an invisible sin. Pornography is based on deception. The entire industry is based on deception. It promises something that it can't deliver. Now hang on with me for just a moment and try to grasp what I'm talking about, if you will. Guys in particular, the women in those magazines, the women in those videos, who wouldn't give a regular guy the time of day? They wouldn't. She wouldn't say hello if you went over and sat down across the table from her. She doesn't want you. She doesn't like you, very likely. She frankly probably doesn't even think you're very cute. That's the cold reality of it. Because see, they have their own construct of what they think beauty is, what they think, you know, something that is appropriate and nice and friendly and all of those things. Pornography is completely one-sided. You know what she really wants from you? She wants your money. That's all she cares about. And if truth were to be told, she probably despises you for the weakness that you have in even indulging in these kinds of things. I know this isn't pleasant. I know this is a little bit hard to listen to. But it is my endeavor to give you what I believe is the truth. I was at McDonald's last night, and I got in trouble this morning for sharing this little story. But I was at McDonald's last night, and I had ordered a hamburger, and I had to wait for it to be made. And I was sitting at one of the tables there, and somebody had left, you know, the nutrition chart that you can ask for, and it has like all of the fat and the cholesterol and all of that stuff. And I knew what I was talking about today. And I started looking at all of the health indexes and the cholesterol ratings and all of that stuff. And as you get older and a little more rounded, you tend to be more concerned about some of those issues. I'd like to be around a long time. Eating McDonald's is probably not going to help that. But this thought occurred to me as I was sitting there. How can you trust a system, a company, that wants to do business with you, but puts its success before your welfare? How can I trust McDonald's and do business with them when they don't really, I mean, they put out these nutrition things, and, you know, the government tells them you have to put in the calories on the board and all that stuff because, you know, it's going to help me and I'm going to make good choices. I'm not going to make good choices. I'm still going to eat the same Big Mac that I've eaten for 20 years. See, they don't really care about my health. They care about the almighty dollar. I mean, in essence, that's what business is, right? It's about turning a profit, making money. Yes, you help people, but it's at the expense of making a profit. And don't get me wrong. I mean, you know how I feel about business and Christians and all that stuff. And that doesn't change. But the bottom line is this. You can't trust a company that puts its bottom dollar before your health and welfare. But see, that's exactly what the builders of these pornographic sites do. They don't care about you. They're not interested in bringing you pleasure. All they really care about is you clicking and turning in your credit card number. They're not interested in the impact that it has on your family or your eternal soul. All they want is your money. It's based on deception, but see, it feeds a legitimate appetite. Something that God created. You understand that, right? We're all big people. We understand that God created us in this way. Let me tell you how Satan works. How you can identify him. See, he comes when you're tired. He comes when you're worn out. And he makes the most reasonable requests that you know you should never agree to. Here. Completely reasonable. It's okay if you do just a little bit. It's not going to hurt you. What did he tell Eve? Oh, just one bite's not going to be a big deal. Completely reasonable. See, sexual desire is a completely legitimate, God-given, good thing. And because it's good and proper and right, the enemy wants to use that and get you to turn what God made good. He wants to put it in an inappropriate context. You ever heard these lies in your head? You know what I'm talking about when I say the thoughts in your head, your conscience? You ever think about that? Have you ever heard people talk about your conscience? Those of us who have been believers for very long, pretty familiar with who that is. It's the Holy Spirit. He's saying, hey, don't do that. Here's where you need to be. See, the enemy wants to put those thoughts there too. He wants to speak. He wants to whisper in your ear. Says things like, nobody will ever know. This doesn't hurt anybody but you. And it's not even going to hurt you because it's your body. Just one more. Just click one more time, and then you can be done. You're not addicted. You can stop at any time. If it feels good, do it. We have ad campaigns that are telling us that. And the nastiest, vilest, most evil lie of all that he's going to tell you, God understands because of the situation that you're in. God will understand. He knows that you've been through a lot. He knows that you need this. Third, it accomplishes a satanic purpose. Because ultimately, that's who's getting fed. You know, I don't get too much into the whole Satan and spirit world and all that. I have lots of knowledge of it. I spent a long time studying it, but I don't do a lot of discussion of it. But here's what we do know. Here's what the Bible very clearly tells us, is that Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And here's something I can promise you. Pornography, especially young men who are not married yet, It will cost you your marriage. It will cost you your children, your ministry, your calling, your job, your career. It will cost you your reputation. And because of the nature, which we're going to speak of in just a moment, the nature of this issue, this addiction, if you continue down the road, there's an if, it will leave you with a criminal record that you'll never be able to wipe from the slate, to say nothing of your conscience. You will always have those thoughts and issues in your head. And don't ever buy into the lie that society wants you to believe that pornography helps with your marital relations, that it makes it better. Because is that really what we want to be doing, is thinking about somebody else while we're with the person that God has gifted us with for the rest of our lives? So we understand what the nature of it is. I want you to understand the pattern of the addiction as well. There's 6 steps to addiction to pornography. I'm going to go through these quickly, kind of hold on. The first one is early exposure. We talked earlier about all of the numbers of people who are exposed every year, first time. For some of us, we were shocked, we were surprised, maybe even sickened at what was seen. The second is the intentional pursuit. Because see, here's the case. Now we know it's out there. Now we know, oh, I can pull this out and have access to an entire world that I didn't know about. And so we begin to go after it. We begin to go looking for it. Then comes the primary addiction, that first step. You find yourself looking and pursuing your secret habit. You realize and know that it's not healthy, but you suspect that there's nothing you can do about it. You've tried and it failed. You have prayed all kinds of prayers for forgiveness, but it didn't change. Because, see, then we end up in spiraled bondage. We see ourselves failing, going deeper and deeper, getting worse and worse. This is that stage we were talking about a moment ago when we talked about it ending up in criminal record. Because after spiralized bondage, you have total desensitization. Nothing affects you anymore. Those things that we used to blush. Anybody know what blushing is? When our cheeks turn red, kind of embarrassed just a little bit. See, the problem with our society today is we've forgotten how to blush. We have forgotten those things that once, at least in my generation and generations before, would have turned us bright red. And then, of course, the last one ends up in acting out sexually. And this is the place of bondage that everybody who gets there once viewed with abhorrence and disgust. But they got there anyway. Excusing, repenting, justifying all along the way. I don't know if you know this. I used to run a ministry for about 10 years. It was just an online thing. Because of the prevalence of pornography and this kind of material online, I ran a ministry called Christian Guys. This was pretty well everything that we discussed. We talked about the conversations that I had with these young men would curl the hair of most people if you had any left. That's why some of these are gone. Because the stories that they would tell about how they got there, and the cycle of sin, confession, repentance, and starting over. Confession, repentance, starting over. They'd be stuck in this. But here's the thing. I know this has all been difficult. I know it's been very, very rough. I know it's been a topic that you're just going, oh, I wish you'd shut up and get done with it. But I would be remiss if I didn't give you this part. God gives a pathway to victory. Bible says there's no temptation that is common to man that he does not give you a way out of. That he will not give you an opportunity to get out of. Mark Twain says this. You guys know who Mark Twain is? Guy who wrote Huck Finn and some of those books, Tom Sawyer. He says there are several good protections against temptation, but the surest is cowardice. What does that mean? It means we just are too afraid to go there. We're too afraid to mess up. Too afraid maybe even sometimes to get caught. The first one that, first step that I think God gives us as a way out is to make a heart choice. It's a hard choice, but it's a heart choice. Deliverance at the end of the day is a matter of your heart. Making a decision, having a genuine desire to be delivered. If you don't have that desire, it's not going to happen. The psalmist in chapter 101, verse 3 says, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. Job in chapter 31, verse 1 says, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look with lust upon a young woman. We have to make a heart choice. Second, we need to recognize the triggers. What are the things that set us off? What are the things that start us down the path, thinking, taking our eyes, taking our mind, and going down the path that we don't need to go, that ultimately ends up with us in front of a computer screen or in a book or a magazine or even just wrapped up in our thoughts? See, every one of us has a little bit different triggers. Men are different from ladies. It's not always the case. As a general, ladies, it's because of depression, boredom, loneliness, low self-image, or giving up on hope of a happy marriage. So they turn to the internet for alternatives. Do you know that women are twice as likely as men to cheat from something along the lines of Facebook? It used to be chat rooms. They're twice as likely to go on chat rooms and reconnect with old friends, old acquaintances. Now it's Facebook. Why? Because something in that situation, that kind of a connection, provides two things. Number one, it provides the emotional stimulation. Women are handle their emotions differently than guys do. It's not good. It's not bad. It's the way that God created us. And so it provides that emotional connection that may be lacking at home, but it also provides an opportunity for rest. We don't have to go. You don't have to pursue. You can simply have these conversations. For guys, the triggers are a little bit different. It's stress, financial pressure, anger, depression. And unfortunately, sometimes it's just flat-out desire. What have we been feeding ourselves with? But see, the result is the same no matter guys or girls. Guilt, shame, a loss of self-worth and self-respect. We need to recognize the triggers that put us down the path that we don't need to be going. Third, we need to identify the patterns. What's going on in your life? Is there a regular place that starts that thought process? Is there a place that you're going? Is there a person that you're with that always seems to start you down those thoughts? Fourth, we need to create an alternative habit. We need to recognize what that pattern is. We need to create an alternative. Are any of you old enough to remember the show Hee Haw or watch it on reruns? Okay. One of my favorite skits to watch on Hee Haw was the doctor. And people still do this bit in different ways today. But back then, it was something to the effect of Doc Campbell was the doctor, was his name. and he was confronted by whatever patient, usually the guest star that was on that week. And he walks in and he says, "Doctor, I broke my arm in two places." Doctor said, "Well, don't go to those places anymore." Two places, two different places. They didn't get it. No, I'm kidding. Modern day, they would say something like, "Hey, doctor, it hurts when I do this." Doctor says, "Don't do that." You got to identify different patterns, different ways of doing things. If one way is causing us to stumble, if one way is causing temptation in our life, then we need to change the pattern, change the place, change the thing that is causing the difficulty. Fifth, we need to set up some genuine accountability. Finding somebody to connect with. A guy named Duncan Campbell, and you wouldn't know who he is, but he said this, and I think it's good. He said, "Do not expect God to cover what you are not willing to uncover." 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Just because we've made the decision to leave temptation doesn't mean that temptation has made the decision to leave us. Having somebody to be accountable to. Young men, this is almost always going to be somebody older than you. Young men, I know you haven't heard me tell you this before. Young ladies, this also applies to you. I am standing up because I think it is of that much importance. You need to have three people in your life. You need to have a person as Paul. There was a missionary, he wrote about half of the New Testament. His name was Paul. He went on these missionary journeys, and he went for long periods. And there were people that went with him. All of us need a Paul in our life. Somebody that is wiser than us. Somebody that is older than us. Somebody who has already been there, done that. And when I say older than you, I'm not talking like I'm 15 and they're 16 or 17. I'm talking I'm 15 and they're 40. Or they're 25 or 35 or whatever it is. A big gap. They've been there and they've already worked through and had success. You can point to the successes in their life. Second, okay, so that's somebody above me. That's number one. Number two, we need somebody who is equal to us. In that missionary journey, that was Barnabas. There was a man that Paul would walk with. His name was Barnabas. He was an encourager. He was at the same stage. He was a similar status in life. We all need a Barnabas in our life. Somebody that we can just bounce ideas off of. They're kind of in the same place as we are, and that's who we share. I will tell you right now, the Barnabas in my life is Brother David. He is my equal. We are in the same place in life. I share all kinds of ideas with him. He knows pretty well everything there is to know about me. I would assume something similar the other direction. Third, you need a Timothy in your life. That is somebody younger than you. Somebody that you're encouraging. You need those three people in your life. Finally, you need to find victory in your pursuit with God. God has the ability to deliver you. We started off saying that this issue was a heart issue. If you bathe your journey, your issue in prayer, God is there to answer and to deliver. He will always bring deliverance to the situation. Unfortunately, there are just too many times that this is the case where we fall down and we get back up again. We fall down, we get back up again. Continue to bathe it in prayer. Continue to share with that person that you're accountable with. And somewhere in there, you'll find victory. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the fact that you bring all kinds of things in our lives. God, we know that there are people in our lives that deal with these issues, whether it has been somebody close that we know and love, or it has been somebody within our own house, or maybe even us. Father, we acknowledge that we are sinners that are only saved by your grace. We are truly thankful for all that you do. It's in your name we pray. Amen. A couple things I want to share with you.